Hey, this is Mike Bobbitt. I'm a guy who used to make things, and sometimes I still do. These days, I prefer making podcasts, and I have a new one called Soundtrack to My Life. On this podcast, I talk to different creative people about the music that shaped them. Sometimes the conversations are funny, and sometimes they're just kind of sweet.
I love that Pina Colada song. Yeah, I do.
Rihanna has had a huge impact on my songwriting.
I'm diving into the ocean, finding that one fish that has the toxins, and I'm just drinking those toxins all day.
Maybe they're saying, like, you should now go forth and rock. It's like a peace be with you situation.
I also have a playlist called F-Jams. One into it, just in case.
We dance to a jazz version of My Favorite Things.
Soundtrack to My Life. It's available exclusive on Spotify. It's a exclusive. I'm going to try to make that word take off. It's a music plus talk show, meaning I can play songs in their entirety. So think of this as an interactive playlist with some of the coolest creative people I know, and you should know too. Soundtrack to My Life, a Spotify exclusive.
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
Good, Angie. How are you doing today?
I'm great. So we are back with another week of Great Lakes Confidential. I think this is episode 15, season 315. So
315.
Yeah. So we've got some good news coming out of Detroit this last week at the time of this recording.
Yeah.
Detroit has the lowest crime rates in 57 years.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Lowest crime rate.
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions are gangbusters. Who is this city? I don't even recognize it anymore.
Homicides are the lowest in Detroit since 1966. Non-fatal shootings dropped 16% from 2022 and 31% since 2020. And carjackings have dropped 33% from 2022 and 66% since 2015.
Oh, good news.
Yeah.
That is good news.
Yeah. And Detroit has been consistently popping up on like the greatest places to travel to and the most beautiful riverfront and all of these really cool little, I don't know what the word is off the top of my head right now because it's very early. But they keep popping up on these like little survey things that are being done. And I just love to see it. It's so good. It's great stuff.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah, like I think Mike Duggan said the other day, it's a 20-year overnight success story.
Yeah. I love that.
But I mean, it's fantastic. And I mean, I don't want to, you know, go off too much and start talking about politics, but with Duggan running for governor, I mean, he's got my vote.
Yeah, that's crazy news. That was crazy news when he said that, and I'm pretty excited because if he wins, I mean, we've seen what he's done with Detroit, and so the possibilities are endless. It's cool. It's a cool thing
it
to
is.
Experience.
I mean, I love that he's running, and I love that he's running as an independent, too.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea of his because, I mean, I think there's just too much baggage with either party.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're a guy who just gets things done like Duggan, and it's like, you know what? I'm just going to run independent.
Yep.
I don't really need a party. I'll work with anybody. And I mean, that's been the success of Detroit. It's good to see.
Yeah. Very exciting stuff. All right. So in trying to find something to chat about this week, I was looking up hidden gems in Michigan. And I found some interesting stuff about the Jefferson Chalmers neighborhood in Detroit. So I figured that's what we would talk about today.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
All righty. So the area now known as the Jefferson Chalmers neighborhood was once known as the Grand Marais or Big Marsh. The land became part of the U.S. territories in 1805, and soon plans were in place to drain the marsh to develop the land. One of the first commercial structures built in the Grand Marais was the Detroit Racing Club, a horse racing track that later hosted automobile races. In 1901, it was the site of the famous race between Henry Ford and Alexander Winton, which would lead to the formation of the Ford Motor Company.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. The village of Fairview was officially incorporated in 1903. Three men were integral in its development. They were Daniel J. Campbell Jr., who was a businessman in Detroit with interest in real estate, horse racing, and politics. And we've heard that name pop up, you know.
Yeah, Campbell. Yeah, that's
all the time.
Joseph, somewhere, somehow related to Joseph Campbell.
Yep, yep. We've got Joseph Barry, who was the co-owner of Barry Brothers Paint and Varnish. And then finally, George Hendry owned the Hendry Trucking Company. Once these men established their businesses in the area, more were soon to follow. Their original intention was to control the land on which a road connecting the city of Detroit with Grosse Pointe Farms would run. Once the road was established, streetcars became the most popular means of transportation. Once the city of Detroit became interested in running their own streetcars, the village of Fairview was doomed. By 1907, the village had been annexed to the city. While Fairview existed for only 4 years, it became the birthplace of Detroit's auto industry.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I always think of Dearborn. You always think of this as Dearborn.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, I mean, Ford only invented the assembly line. He didn't invent the car. And, you know, there was the Piquette plant and Ford, oh, in Detroit, all that. Anyway, mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, you don't think of Fairview. Okay, no. Carry on.
After winning the 1901 auto race at the Detroit Racing Club, Henry Ford received financial backing from an investor and Fairview resident, which allowed him to start the Ford Motor Company. While the original Ford Motor Company was located just outside the boundaries of the village, other auto companies saw the area as prime for production. These companies included the Chalmers Motor Company, Hudson Motor Car Company,
ooh, yeah,
Liberty Motor Company, E.R. Thomas Detroit Company, and Chrysler. These factories were mainly located along Connor Street, where the Chrysler Jefferson North Assembly Plant stands today. Two of these factories, the Hudson and E.R. Thomas, were designed by famed architect Albert Kahn.
Albert Kahn, there's his name again.
Yep. Besides the auto industry, the manufacturing industry also grew rapidly in the city. With so much new industry cropping up, the need for housing soon arose. According to the U.S. Census data, the population of the city of Detroit grew from 285,704 in 1900 to over 1 million by 1930.
Yeah.
So what had been...
the Midwest.
That's crazy. That is...
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a lot of people.
I don't even believe there's a million people living in the city of Detroit right now.
No, there's... God, what did I just read? 700,000-ish?
Yeah.
I think. I could be wrong, but for some reason, like, right around 700,000 people stands out for living in the city of Detroit right now.
It's crazy because you think of how Detroit's popping right now, but imagine, like, back then when there was, you know, 30% more people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of people. So yeah. What had been a 900-acre marsh only a few years earlier became ripe for residential construction. Housing was not the only need that arose with the influx of people to the area. Shops, schools, churches, and entertainment venues soon followed as well. Three schools within the former village of Fairview were the Albert Ives Elementary, Maurice Keating Elementary, and the Joseph Guyton Elementary. Of these, only the Guyton School still stands today. Churches were also very important to the growing community. In 1913, both St. Columba and the Jefferson Avenue Methodist Church, Jefferson at Marlborough, began holding services. Faith Lutheran Church was founded at Philip and Jefferson, and the Catholics of the area were served by a number of parishes, including S.S. Peter and Paul, which is the oldest surviving church in the city, having been constructed in 1848. It is now part
which
of
which one was that? You said the S.S. Peter and Paul?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. There's quite a few old churches, so that's weird. Okay, so it's the oldest church.
Mm-hmm. It's now part of the University of Detroit.
Okay.
So I don't know if that helps kind of have that picture in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic parishes also had schools associated with them. The area was home to many immigrant families who came to the area in hopes of finding wealth in the auto industry or other manufacturing jobs. These immigrants came from Greece, Italy, France, Belgium, Lebanon, Syria, and Germany. These people helped shape the neighborhood and make it their own. Sadly, like most industrial cities in the U.S., by the 1960s, the auto industry had begun moving plants out to the suburbs, and with the jobs went the residents. By 2000, the population of the city had dropped below 1 million. While the population peaked in the 1950s at 1.86 million, today it is estimated that only 700,000 now reside in the city. That is about the same number that called Detroit home in 1910.
Okay.
So that's where I read that.
Well, so we're 110 years behind.
Yes.
As far as population goes. Okay.
While the people moved out of the area, the rich history remains and should be celebrated. Change has been a constant to the area, and today that still holds true. The National Trust for Historic Preservation deemed the business district a national treasure, and projects continue to revitalize this once thriving part of the city of Detroit. Now, Detroit is called the Motor City, but the Jefferson-Chalmers area has a canal district nicknamed Little Venice. The Detroit River features a popular riverfront, adding to Detroit's charm and vitality. However, a lesser-known area in town for water strolling and enjoyment is the Detroit Canals. The area is a charming place by the Jefferson-Chalmers neighborhood that also has a series of waterfront parks accessible by land or water. When trying to find Little Venice, head between the Detroit River and East Jefferson Avenue. To see it at its best, many locals suggest kayaking. That way you can enjoy the canal views, the birds, architecture, and local lifestyle that make it so beloved by those who live there and those who visit. Detroit River Sports offers an historic canal tour by kayak that is very popular. This 3-mile tour combines sightseeing with local history, passing landmarks like Gray Haven Island. The tour takes a couple of hours, but prior kayaking experience is not required. Detroit River Sports offers morning and sunset canal tours, as does Detroit Outpost. If you prefer to explore on your own, Simple Adventures has rentals by the hour. You can also rent boats in the marina to explore the waterways. Did you know that you can explore the canals like that?
No, I didn't. I wasn't even really aware of these canals. I mean, I was trying to place all of this as you were talking about it. Sorry, I was bringing up a map to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, this has always been just an area I've driven through, you know, like from Detroit to Grosse Pointe, you just kind of, look, there's the Rooster Tail, and then, you know, you're in Grosse Pointe, so.
Right.
Yeah, like, I'm not even that familiar with much of that waterfront down there at all.
Yeah, I had no idea. I was very shocked to find that this little Venice existed.
Yeah, no, I would like to see that now. I mean, I'm familiar with, you know, a lot of the waterfront mansions down there and, you know, different yacht clubs and different things like that. But as far as like a little series of canals and all that, I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So when exploring the canals by kayak, foot, or even car, you will find many parks to stop at and enjoy, many of which are along the waterfront. Alfred Busch Ford Park, Riverfront Lakewood East Park, and Mariner Park are along the canals and offer fishing, picnic spots, and places to play soccer and relax. Maharis Gentry Park, also nearby, offers space to walk, play sports, and even has a fishing pond. There are also...
Oh, sorry, carry on. I just brought up some pictures of these canals.
Are they pretty cool?
Oh, man. I mean, it's nothing that I've expected to see around here. I mean, these are houses right on the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is more like something you might see like out in Algonac.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really, you don't expect to see that in Detroit.
Uh-uh.
Jeez, you learn something new about your city every day.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
There are also plenty of options for food while enjoying the charming views. This is what I like the most. Coriander Kitchen and Farm is not just farm to table, but farm and table. Coriander is located along the canals of Detroit on Riverside Boulevard. The restaurant has a large outdoor area for eating and creates meals using their own farm-grown produce while supporting local Detroit and Michigan farmers. The menu often changes depending on what's available. Sinbad's is along the street from Detroit's canals, and the restaurant has been serving up food for nearly 75 years along the Detroit River. It's a great spot for seafood and is famous for its clam chowder. You can arrive by car or boat for lunch or dinner.
So this is in the area of Sinbad's. Mm-hmm. All righty.
Is it starting to be more clear to you now?
Yeah, I mean, looking at these maps and all that, but like these canals, it still is just like, wow, I had no idea that they were there. I'm looking at them, and I mean, it's really cool. Like, you only, it seems like growing up, like, I guess you only hear about the more notorious areas in the city, not really the areas of, you know, beauty and awesomeness that, who knows, maybe the people that were living there didn't want anyone to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, stay out of here, buddy.
Right. Near the Detroit border with Grosse Pointe, Yellow Light serves up house roasted coffee, fresh donuts, and breakfast sandwiches, and is a great spot to go before you visit the canals. Norma G's is in Detroit's Jefferson Chalmers district and serves Caribbean cuisine. The menu has a variety of Caribbean foods, including jerk chicken dinner, curry goat, curry chicken, and more. You can also get some delicious desserts like the Mango Tango, Rum Toddy, and more.
Mango Tango!
Yeah!
Yeah, that's a Ted Nugent song, I believe.
Atwater in the Park is located in Grosse Pointe Park, just down the street from the Detroit border. Atwater in the Park is part of the Atwater Brewery. Now we're talking my language. It's in an it's in an old church with a great outdoor beer garden. They have a ton of different beers from Atwater, including the Atwater IPA, Vanilla Java Porter, Dirty Blonde, which is one of my favorites, and more. You can also get food. Their menu includes different sandwiches, appetizers, salads, all kinds of stuff. The Charlevoix is a classic cocktail bar in Grosse Pointe Park that serves up delicious food and drinks. They have chicken wings with a variety of sauces, plus different po'boys and snacks for food, and a large list of wines and spirits. And finally, the Red Crown just recently reopened in an old Standard Oil building and has a new chef and a new menu. So, sounds like there's lots to do when you go exploring that down there.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, for sure. I'm still looking at these houses and the canals, and they got like, the kind of that boathouse look where you can like pull right into like the garage right on the canal. I mean, it's amazing. I never knew this was down there.
Sounds fancy.
Yeah. I mean, I just think for years, like I think like 20 years ago, you know, it's just, again, just an area you drive through on Jefferson, just blow through it and don't even think about it. Don't even think about what else is going on. Wow.
Well, now you've got a couple of different restaurants you can pick from and go down there. And I know you're probably not one for kayaking the canals, but you can still drive down there and go
never
check out a restaurant.
Never.
That's true.
Why would you think I wouldn't want to kayak the canals?
I don't know. I just don't see you as a kayaking person.
You know, I'll do anything. I'm just not the initiator.
All right.
I need
that's
somebody
fair.
To say, hey, you want to go kayak the canals? And I'll be like, hell yeah, let's go.
All right. Well,
I just don't initiate the stuff.
Well, then I hope somebody comes along and says, hey, man, let's go kayak these canals.
Yeah, you know, maybe I'll talk to my brother about it because he lives near there.
That would be, I wonder if he's ever done it.
Yeah, you know, he probably has.
That's
he
cool.
Just never even told me about it, never even mentioned it.
Well, that's not nice. This, like,
too cool for school.
Right. You can go to the Charlevoix and get some po' boys.
Yeah.
I like that they have po' boys in the canal district.
Yeah.
That makes
me
happy.
I mean, it seems fitting. Seems fitting.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. So this sounds like a really cool little place to explore.
Yeah, definitely.
I hope somebody does. And I don't know. I've kayaked quite a few. I kayaked a couple times over the summer last year. And then I kayaked in a lagoon in Florida a couple years ago. And that was pretty, well, that was terrifying actually, cause it was at night, but it was cool, but I don't know if I'd kayak the canals or not. I'm not a very good kayaker.
It would be cool, but in looking at the pictures of these canals, like, you know what I mean? You're kind of bothering these people, I think.
Yeah. You are very close to houses.
I mean, the canals are pretty narrow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure it was probably really cool, like, you know, the past 20 years to be living there when nobody really knew or cared to go there. But now that Detroit's got a resurgence on.
Right.
Now you got to deal with all these people in their canoes, and they probably have their dogs with them in the canoe.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, do you know which one of these fine restaurants I can bring my dog to? No offense to dog lovers out there. I love dogs, too.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I know what you're saying. So,
yeah.
But that's Jefferson Chalmers Canal District. That's all I got.
Wow, very neat. Yeah, very neat. Very cool.
Yeah. So next week we're going to talk about the Pontiac Silverdome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be...
The Pontiac Silverdome.
Yeah, so...
The Pope was there.
I know.
Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant there.
Did you see Hulk Hogan got booed really bad recently at the Netflix?
Yeah, that's a guy, huh?
There's a way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's childhood hero, and then he gets popped being racist on his own sex tape.
Ugh.
And it's like, man, you were a childhood hero. This is just weird.
It is. It's.
Yeah, but, well, what are you going to do? We got Jefferson Chalmers to worry about. We don't need Hulk Hogan. We've got canals, kayaking, po' boys, Atwater Brewery.
I love Atwater.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got some good stuff.
Yeah, I think my brother hangs out there quite a bit.
Yeah, you should talk to him about kayaking over there. See if he's ever done it.
Yeah, I'm sure he has. And if not, maybe me and him will go do it this summer.
That'd be awesome. Then you can tell us about it.
I'll get back to everybody. This is what I did on my summer vacation. I kayaked the Jefferson Chalmers canals.
That'd be
and
dope.
Bothered the locals. No, I'm going to do my best not to bother the locals. And if you guys go down there, don't bother the locals.
Yeah, I mean, we've said it before. If you're going to be out exploring places that aren't necessarily for public, just be careful. Don't be rude.
And even if they are for the public, don't be rude. Be respectful.
Yeah, exactly.
See what you got to see. Take a few pictures. Be polite. Smile. Move on.
Leave the place better than the way you found it.
Yeah, exactly. Pick up a little bit of garbage on your way out, even if you didn't leave it.
Yes, that's a good idea.
That's how they'll be like, man, we're glad you're back. Next time you come back, they'll be happy to see you.
Exactly.
Oh, wow, okay, hold on. Here's another picture I just found. Seeing how close these canals... Okay, wow, these canals are like right up to the... It was just a photo I found on Google. It was just a with the Detroit River in the background and fine Laker traveling across, I can't tell which one it is, but traveling the river and just showing that these canals are like, you know, maybe like a quarter of a mile from the river. Very an eighth cool. of a mile from the river. Yeah, like right there.
That's awesome.
Do we get into how they like dredge these things out?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Probably no, not important. I didn't see anything about that.
Okay. That's cool. They're there. You deal with them.
Yeah.
Don't worry about how they got there. They're already here.
Yeah. Pretty much.
All right. Sorry. I'm rambling Jones right now.
That's all right. I get it. It's exciting.
Yeah. It's something new.
For sure.
Something new and exciting. Yeah.
All right. Well,
maybe I'll go down there today and ice skate.
Wow. That's being really ambitious.
Yeah, imagine how ticked off they'd be, too, if you just came down there with some friends and just started playing hockey on the canal. Nets and...
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway.
All right. Well, on that note, let's get out of here.
All right.
We'll be back next week talking about the Pontiac Silverdome. And
looking forward to it.
Yep. Should be a good show. So, you guys have a great week. Stay warm. It is so frigid outside. And,
yeah, we're not going to get above freezing till like next weekend.
Yeah, and be super careful on the roads because people are driving like idiots out there. Like, what is going on?
It's ice everywhere.
It snows every year, you guys. Come on.
Not really. It didn't really snow last year.
But still, like almost every year it snows. You got to know how to drive in the winter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think about other things. Like, this is like the first I didn't have to shovel all of last year. And now I have to shovel.
Yeah.
And then apparently a friend of friends or, you know, like one of those like acquaintance of friends sort of whatever. But a gentleman just had a heart attack and died shoveling snow.
Oh, no.
So, and I mean, young guy, you know, had to be probably in his 40s.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, be careful when you're shoveling snow, too, you guys.
Just be careful in general.
Yeah. It's rough out there, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to lecture you people, but just be careful.
I don't mean to get on my soapbox, but...
Right. Take your time. Somebody is waiting for you.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. It is. It
is. Make them wait a little longer so you don't have... Don't hurt yourself.
Yeah. It can get very dangerous out there in the winter. And if you're not used to it, you got to be careful and you got to be smart. So...
Yeah.
You know. But...
Anyway,
safe. Watch for deer. Text us when you get home. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.